Hi there, I'm Marianne Lozano, president of the Broadleaf Board of Directors and the conference chair for the 9th Annual Broadleaf Writers Conference. This year, our conference will be held Saturday and Sunday, September 21st and 22nd at the Decatur Library in Decatur, Georgia. The 9th Annual Broadleaf Writers Conference offers 2 days of panels, workshops, one-on-one pitch and mentoring sessions, a first pages critique, opportunities to meet and chat with our guest authors and literary agents, and plenty of time to spend with a community of fellow writers in attendance. We strive to attract top-level speakers, both with a track record of success in the industry, as well as those just beginning their careers, with the capacity and desire to help writers on their path to publication. This year, we're thrilled to be headlined by New York Times bestselling author Mary Kay Andrews. Registration for the 9th Annual Broadleaf Writers Conference opens May 1st, so be sure to save the date. To learn more about our conference, I hope you'll visit our website at broadleafwriters.com. See you this fall.
Hi, hello, and welcome to another episode of Right Now, a podcast on the craft and business of writing presented to you by Broadleaf Writers Association, based in Atlanta, Georgia. I'm your host, Zachary Steele, and on today's episode, we're turning the spotlight on a member of our writing community, Vanessa Howland Reed. Vanessa is interviewed by Broadleaf board member and director of social media, Jessica Bowers. So sit back and enjoy getting to know Vanessa, and if you're interested in joining Broadleaf for your time in the spotlight, you can do so at broadleafwriters.com.
Hey, Vanessa, thank you so much for joining me today for our Broadleaf Member Spotlight. I'm really excited to talk with you today. And could you mind introducing yourself and giving us a little bit about your background?
I would be delighted. And thank you so much for having me. I'm really appreciative and I'm delighted to be here as well. A little bit about me. My name is Vanessa Howard Reed. I'm from Atlanta, Georgia, where I currently reside. Actually, I'm originally from Jacksonville, Florida, but I've been here for a very long time at this point. I have a 18-year-old daughter who is in college, her first year, freshman year at college. So that's been a lot of an adventure so far this year. I teach high school English. And I teach, currently I'm teaching 9th and 10th grade honors English, and 10th grade is world lit. So I love being a teacher. I also enjoy, obviously, writing and reading. And my husband and I love movies. We're big movie aficionados. I'm a member of Broadleaf Writers Association, as well as the Horror Writers Association and the Mystery Writers Association.
You're really involved in a lot of groups then. You've got a lot going on.
To be honest, I have just recently joined MWA and haven't had a chance to get very involved in them with them. But I've been a member of HWA for quite a while now, and I'd like to get more involved. We've had such positive experiences with the organization. I also changed jobs recently, so with all of the lovely new and firsts we've had this year, it's been a little crazy, but I'm excited to hopefully get more involved.
Well, we'd love for you to be more involved. So yeah. How did you get started writing?
So I've always loved story since I can remember, being read to as a child, just connecting with the idea of storytelling really early. When I first started kind of devouring books and finding genres that appealed to me, there's a seminal moment I can remember, and that is when I first picked up Flowers in the Attic by V.C. Andrews. Mm. I was way too young to be reading that book at that time.
I'm almost positive anyone who picks that up is way too young to be reading that book at the time.
Exactly. But I don't know what it was. I just, you know, the atmospheric descriptiveness and sort of the taboo, you know, topics. But I just like fell in love with those books as a young girl. And I remember I used to get in trouble because I would be reading them under my desk in my English class, and my English teacher did not appreciate that very much. I recently went back and tried to read Flowers in the Attic, and that was sort of an interesting experience. But those are really kind of the books that got me interested, especially in speculative fiction. And another moment I can think about that really impacted me was when I was a sophomore in high school. I had an English teacher named Miss Albritton, and she assigned us a creative writing piece, and she was really complimentary and had some lovely comments about what I'd done. It was the first time I felt like, oh, okay, so I'm okay at this. This is something that I like doing, and felt, you know, validated by that. And then honestly, in terms of beginning really my own writing practice, not that long ago, I read On Writing by Stephen King. It was actually a text that we used for teaching English, honors English, when I taught at another school. And I was just blown away by his mixing of storytelling and practicality, and felt very inspired. I've always felt inspired by Stephen King just because I think he's so relatable. Those were the sort of the seminal moments I can remember that got me like, okay, this is something I enjoy and I might be able to do.
So can you share a little bit about what work you have already out there and maybe what you're working on now?
Sure. I am primarily a short story writer, and I have several short stories published. I think this is my first short story that I ever had published. It was in an anthology called Read by Dawn.
The blur's getting it.
Oh, no. It's an anthology that was part of the UK Horror Festival many years ago. That was my first acceptance and publication, and I was kind of hooked after that. It was a really a lovely feeling, and the editor at the time, Adele Hartley, was a joy to work with. Like, just such a mentor and so thoughtful, and that was such a great experience. And most recently, I had a story published in Georgia Gothic, and another anthology. I would hold it up, but it might be blurry. And then the last story I had published recently was in the fourth book the fourth Corona Book of Horror Stories. And so I had a piece published there, Sunday Supper.
Nice. Are you currently writing anything? Have you got anything in the works?
Well, I have, talking a lot with my crit group, decided to work on a novella. So my first long piece, and I'm actually enjoying the support of another Broadleaf member in that. And so that is a undertaking after primarily being a short story writer and studying short stories with my students, especially. It's been a bit of an adjustment, but it's a good thing. It's definitely pushing me outside of my comfort zone, and I'm having fun, a little frustration, but it's going to be a good experience no matter what happens.
Is there any kind of writing that doesn't involve at least a little frustration?
Oh, definitely not. Is there anything that, you know, is pleasurable in life that doesn't involve frustration? So yeah, you're 100% right.
So speculative fiction and the horror genres, you know, where you circle around, that's a pretty wide range. There's a lot that fits under there. What drew you to those genres?
Well, I think that my experiences growing up really facilitated that. It started with Scooby-Doo. So falling in love with the cartoon and all the iterations that have come beyond that, Mystery Inc., which I still think is fantastic. And I remember as a little girl playing with one of my friends. Her name was Wendy. And we would pretend we were the Scooby-Doo gang, and we would set up mysteries and we'd create the atmosphere in her basement. And we just thought it was the neatest thing ever. And that was like, oh, this is the best. You know, this is so lovely. And about the same time, again, too young, my dad would let me watch the Twilight Zone reruns with him. So it was certainly a situation where, again, too young of an exposure. I think this is true for a lot of people of my generation, Stephen King as well, way too young, but just fell in love with the storytelling. And then he also got me into classic films. I sort of segued into classic horror films like Hammer films, I love Corman's Edgar Allan Poe, Vincent Price films, and the Castle movies. And then kind of the cap on that was in high school when I read Wuthering Heights. I was like, oh, you know, this is so delicious. And I have this sort of love for sort of the Gothic sentiments as well. I think V.C. Andrews started that for me. And then these other books and stories really facilitated that love.
What are your favorite themes and tropes within that genre?
Oh, goodness. You know, I know it's a bit cliche, but I just love that sort of, you know, the vulnerable female who has to sort of find her agency and find her way out of a dark situation. I love the idea of isolation, haunted houses, ghosts, sort of the classic tropes really appeal to me a great deal. I like strong female characters, so there's a lot of that sensibility too in my work. But just to really that sort of atmospheric experience, I still just love it. I never get tired of it.
So how has your writing and your experience with writing influenced the way you teach your students?
So that is something that is really important to me. It's interesting how when you're a young teacher and you sort of are following the lead of those before you, and as you start to become more comfortable and competent in the classroom, and as my writing practice has grown, you know, the writing workshop model has become my practice as a writer and as a teacher. So I think that with my kids, I want to make sure they understand writing is hard and it's a process, and that the writing experience is not about just communication, but about figuring out what you think and what you feel. And it's kind of challenging sometimes with teenagers, especially because they don't always want to, you know, dig into that.
They can have a big case of the I don't want us.
Yeah, it's true, as we all can, of course. But I think the idea of practice in writing, like in other aspects of their life, whether it's sports or acting or any of the other interests they have outside the academic realm, you know, that is something that once they understand they're the same thing, it makes a big difference. But I show them warts and all, the work that I'm doing, how bad my first drafts are. We write together. We share our writing. So, again, I think that has been a huge part of my teaching and my personal writing life as well. They've sort of blended together.
I love that phrase you used, showing it to them warts and all, because yeah. I feel like, you know, the process of starting your idea and getting all the way through and the editing. Yes. Can be really daunting. And for somebody who isn't familiar at all with that, for a student learning, it's understanding the patience and the steps, and it's not perfect the first time, and it shouldn't be perfect the first time. And I think that's probably one of the most important things that anyone can learn at any age, but most especially at that young age.
Yeah. And I think there's also this feeling that, okay, I've done this writing, I'm done. Here's the piece. This was the prompt, or this was what, you know, I was asked to do, or this was an idea that I wanted to work on. And then we're going to move on from that. And in some cases, we know as writers, that's fine. Like there, you know, things we might put in our writing practice journal that we'll never come back to. But getting students and myself to really be comfortable with your initial writing pieces are about figuring out what you think and what you feel. And you have to come back to that practice. You have to recognize that this is the beginning, not a product. It's, you know, not to be again cliche, but it is the journey. And I think that's important too, as writers, that we aren't always looking at, okay, well, how can I get this story published in this anthology? But sitting down and closing the door, as Stephen King says, closing the door and letting, just, you know, being with your work.
Getting students to be engaged and excited about any kind of assignment whatsoever, but especially writing, can be daunting. It can be a task. What's your trick? How do you get those students excited? What's been something that they've really enjoyed doing?
You know, it has been speculative fiction has been a saving grace for me, because I have found so many kids enjoy these high interest pieces that aren't always available to them. As we know, I wouldn't call myself a horror writer necessarily. I'm probably more of a dark fiction writer. But those mysterious stories offer sort of a gateway for students into storytelling. They may not be interested in the sentimental story about the girl and her dog as they are about, the mysterious killer in the woods. At that age, and it's true for reading recommendations too, I find for lots of kids, especially that age, they really benefit from, let's get something really crazy in front of them so they can get excited and get engaged.
Nice. Have you ever gotten stuck while you were writing, and how did you unstick yourself?
Oh, girl, yes.
I think everybody does at some point, right?
Yeah, 100%. So I think I'm the last writer on the planet to read Writing Down the Bones by Natalie Goldberg. It's like sitting on my shelf forever and ever. And I'm finally got into that work. And her advice about keeping a writing practice journal and writing in it every day, no matter what you're going to say or what you're, what write about, description of the dewdrop falling off the leaf or how angry you were when your cat threw up on your way out the door to work, all these things, that has been incredibly helpful for unstopping, because her advice is to write prompts in the back of this journal that you take with you everywhere you go. And it makes perfect sense to me now, but that has been super duper helpful because there's always ideas. And that is, I think, sometimes what really stops writers up as well. I definitely have that imposter syndrome, that feeling of, is this any good? And oftentimes I will let that overtake, sort of my view of myself as a writer. And so just writing to write has helped a lot, because there's no stakes whatsoever. If you're going to write about the dewdrop, on the leaf in the morning, you're not going to publish that. You're not going to try to gain interest for that from other writers. It's about, you and your experience. And that's been a great help.
And flexing that writing muscle.
Yeah.
I had somebody tell me that he thinks that when it comes to imposter syndrome, it's a good thing, because it tells you that you're not overly confident.
Yes.
And sometimes that can be helpful because it means that you're willing to learn.
That's a good point.
I liked that take on it.
Mm-hmm. So. I agree. Yeah. I think that is always, being humble and your experiences, but also being vulnerable. That's so important.
So what are your go-to tools when you're writing? Do you often do everything on a computer, or do you often use pen and paper?
I do use a computer. I'm definitely a planner. I'm not a pantser. I like order, and I like graphic organizers. I like all the things that sort of keep me within the boundaries, so that when I'm writing, I can really express myself and not feel like I'm trying to, be concerned with the structure. So I really just use Google Docs, and, I make a lot of tables in terms of whether it's character analysis or if it's, chapter by chapter plot points or whatever it is. That's really what I use and helps me.
I actually do the same thing. We're kindred spirits. Oh, cool. There.
I like to see it visually, and I do that with my kids too. Whenever we have writing projects, I generally create lots of graphic organizers for them to scaffold sort of what does that final product look like. And again, it informs my writing too. So
how has being part of these writing communities, you mentioned several of them earlier, have those writing communities helped support you and keep you going?
I think that you don't have to belong to a writing community to be a writer. But what I've found is that I have not only found my people, I have found support, education. And that's something that I think Broadleaf does so beautifully. is providing so many opportunities for whether it's just, a little 1 hour seminar or it's the annual conference. There's all these amazing ways to sort of, tap into and get excited about things outside of just sitting in your office with the door closed. I think I mentioned to you earlier that I have a critique group through HWA, and we've been together for 3 years faithfully, meeting every month and analyzing each other's work and supporting each other. And we joke about how we just know each other so well now that we're able to, go to this next level of considering each other's work because of the practice we've had together. And they all have such wonderful different viewpoints. It really, really helps to get outside your head. I think that's the big thing, right? We're in our heads as writers, a lot of us all the time. And so I think writing organizations do a lot, whether it's meeting for, a regular meeting or if it's a conference, those things are so helpful in terms of just shaking you up and keeping you vital.
For me personally, yeah, it's that support system from folks who understand just how crazy and loud it can get in here, but how solitary that feels.
Yes. And just to, for example, in my writing group, I'm not the only teacher, but I sometimes come at things from a teacher's perspective, and it may be, grammatical questions and formatting issues and things of that nature I might bring up. But because a couple of the other members are not from that background, they come at it from a different way. And it is so helpful because, I think it's great to be a teacher and I love teaching English, but at the same time, you're immersed in writing all day long and story all day long. Having that influence from people outside of that particular experience has really helped me grow as a writer.
Nice. Well, where can folks find your work? Where can they connect with you?
So I am mostly at this time on Facebook. I left Twitter/X. And I'm not great about social media. I do have a website, which I think that you shared. So I'm on Facebook as Vanessa Reed Fiction, also Vanessa Halloran Reed, but I'm on WordPress as Vanessa Reed Fiction as well. And I'm flirting with Substack. So I've started kind of looking at that because I don't love visiting social media all the time. I'm looking toward maybe doing a newsletter at some time in the future that would be informative and keep me updating folks on something. It's easy to let it go for sure.
So where's the best place for folks to find your books or the books where your stories are in?
All of those anthologies are available on Amazon. Okay. And they are also on my website with links for the purchase as well.
Awesome. And we will include those links in the write-up that will accompany the page on the Broadleaf website for anyone that is interested in that. Vanessa, it has been an absolute pleasure talking with you today. Thank you so much for sharing. I can't wait to introduce this to everyone else and let them get to know you as well.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure for me too, talking with you today, Jessica.